following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, aloha, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Episode 309 happening, thankfully. Thank the baby Jesus. I had an issue here just right as I started to record. I had a technical issue and I thought, what's going on? And it turns out I had a little software conflict going on there. These things happen. It's, You just keep right on rocking and rolling. But hey, it's happening because, you know, I push it down. I mean, today's Sunday. It is the 12th day of January. And I'm going to put this out here shortly, which is kind of weird to talk like this because I know those of you that listen to the show tend to catch it either later in the afternoon, as the case may be, or as it were, maybe tonight or tomorrow, Monday. But I don't know, it's kind of weird to play around with time like that. But that's all there is to it. Last night was a late night here at the old house. The wife and I got into a movie. It was very, very good. I highly recommend this. I don't talk about it much. You know, I talk about movies and stuff. But it's on Netflix if you have it. It's a film called The Two Popes. It's about Francis and Benedict the 16th. And it's interesting. It's a really interesting look at what happened when Benedict decided that it picks up with his election as Pope. It actually starts before that, the death of John Paul II, and then how Benedict got chosen. And there's a bit of drama in a lot of this. And of course, it goes into the whole thing about how Francis ultimately becomes Pope when Benedict says, "I'm done. I'm out of here." But why it happened and all of that. So if you're interested in a little bit of history, I do recommend it. It's just the sheer joy of watching two master actors work their craft it's a joy to watch. It's Anthony Hopkins, who plays Benedict, and Jonathan Pryce plays Francis. And it is, like I said, it's very well done, beautifully shot. Interesting story. The Vatican would not let the production use the Sistine Chapel, and a good chunk of the film takes place in there, so they had to recreate it, which is neat. But it's pretty cool. It's a fascinating thing called The Two Popes. It's on Netflix. It came out late last year, which is kind of odd to say, but it did. And it's available if you want to see it. Very well done. Very well produced and highly enjoyable, which is that's the thing. You know, we're starting to see a lot of fun stuff show up in streaming television now because there's a lot of channels. There's a lot of need to fill that stuff. We mentioned at one point in this program, and I talked about it on the air with LJ in the morning show, that and I'll remind you in case you haven't heard, you know, if you look at all of the things that are out there online, and it doesn't matter where it is, whether it's a streaming television show, radio show, or creative stuff like a Reddit usually has a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, any of that stuff, it's created about 5% by about 5% of the viewership or whatnot. It's interesting to think of those thin numbers, but that's what it boils down to. But yeah, there you go. That's not what we're getting into this time out. Nope, we're going to get into something a little more interesting. We've talked about it before, but we want to get into it again. We're going to talk about the industry that is the print media. From a, I don't know, maybe a slightly different twist on it, but we'll take a look at it. That's coming up next here on From Radioland, so don't go away.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
My wife is a longtime subscriber of the local paper here in Memphis, the Commercial Appeal. She likes it because she's kind of old school that way, where she likes the idea of having something physical in her hands to read. And she likes to read at nighttime before going to sleep. And it's amusing because, you know, we'll be laying there. Of course, I'm laying there with my phone in my hand going through the news, and she's going there through the paper, and she goes, "Did you hear about such and such?" I'm like, "Yeah, we did like 3 days ago." And, you know, it seems like each week the whole physical part of the paper is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And it's kind of odd that way. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine had remarked about a week or so ago about the state of the Memphis paper, the Commercial Appeal, in regards to the Monday edition. Monday's edition, I think he said, was like 8 pages tops, which is kind of sad. And it's not that they don't have anything to fill it with. It's just there's the whole cost of production. And I think that's what's happening out there. And the audiences are dwindling. So what does this stay? You know, what's the whole point about this? Well, once again, the long fingers of the internet have gotten into that for sure. Those of you who are like myself, who tend to spend a lot of time reading the news, we don't, if you do a lot of it, like I, and I mean a lot of it, you tend to go to the web, you know. That's just because there's all sorts of points of view there, and there's a wide variety of things, and it's shotgunned, and you can kind of pick and choose what stories you want to get into. So, you know, that's what's happened, and newspapers have really fallen on hard times, or have they? And I bring that up in that aspect because when you look at some of the major papers that are out there that are doing well, and these are the, you know, the hallowed halls of pure journalism. I'm talking about papers like the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal is another one, New York Times, LA Times. You know, those are big deals. That's a big paper. There's a lot goes on to it because they have a massive subscription base. They really do. It's really large because these are large metropolitan papers that have been around a long time, and they place journalism very high on their list. Bias or not, there is usually a modicum of, you know, both sides of the story type of an issue. So content aside, those organizations, those papers do pretty well. They do so because of the content that they are getting. Now, local papers, and Memphis is a sizable town. I mean, the area that the local papers deliver to encompasses what, some nearly 2 million people, something like that. 1.5 million, 2 million, somewhere in there. And it's we're seeing cities the size of Memphis and some smaller that are starting to just shut down their paper operations altogether and moving everything to the web. Well, as it turns out, long story short, I saw that the Commercial Appeal, the local Memphis paper, is going to be doing away with the comment sections on stories. Now, this could be, yeah, I know, it seems kind of odd, but there's probably some interesting practicalities to this, one of which is, it's hard to monitor all of that, and you got to make sure that, you know, you got to keep the spammers out of there, and you got just your general run-of-the-mill dumbass that's going to be out there voicing their point of view, which could lie in the lines of hatred or things like that. But there's all this, you know, we're not going to do that anymore, which, take it for what it's worth. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. Personally, I don't think that the Commercial Appeal is going to last too terribly much longer. I could be wrong. Unless they do things like change the way that they operate, if they look at things a little bit differently, the way that they produce their model, because there are other outlets here locally that are doing pretty well. One of which is an internet-based only news source called the Daily Memphian, which they've got a hell of a deal. I think they're not giving me anything for this, but I think it's like $7 a month, and you get all access to everything that they have. Seven seems to be the magic number on the web for content. You know, a lot of smaller apps are, hey, $7 a month, you get everything you want. And I think the Daily Memphian is like that. They wound up getting a lot of the reporters and the writers and the production personnel from the Commercial Appeal when it went through its reduction in force. And they went over and said, hey, you know, we know the city better than anybody else. We can just go ahead and do this ourselves by God. And that's what we'll do. And they did, and they're doing a very fine job of it. There is the interesting conundrum that does happen when you deal with this sorts of things, when you have a website that provides this type of content. Do you charge for access to it? And if you do you allow advertisement on it while you're doing it? So are you going to put yourself in a position where your subscribers are being served ads, even though they're writing a check? I don't know. Newspapers have done the same thing, really, and it's been that way for a long time. But it was understood, I think, for the most part, since it was a physical thing that was being delivered to you, that there is the production of the actual getting of the paper and printing it and all of that other fun stuff, and then the delivery of it, which is another expense, and that's what your subscription went to, which maintained a relatively low profile when it came to your budget, right? You don't think much about it, but the commercial appeal is like, it's like $30 a month, $25-$30 a month for this thing. And I don't know, the immigrant and I had a long discussion about, not really a long, but it's an ongoing discussion. It's like, if you want it, that's yours. Go for it. I just find it kind of odd that's $350 a year for this sort of thing. And if you look at it that way, I guess there's that. But, you back out and you look at, Amazon's $100 a year, and look how much you get out of that. Magazine subscriptions, same thing with them. They've been, off and on the ropes. A lot of large publications have gone from monthlies to every 2 months with a double issue, if you will, because of their production costs and they're sending it out. But there's still ads and all of that. And I get that because it's a physical thing. But if it's a digital thing, you're already paying to access the internet, which through your internet service provider, whoever that may be, could be your phone company, could be your cable company, could be anybody, or a mix of the two, as I've seen happen. But that's understood that you're getting digital advertisement through some of that. And that's an interesting, weird tightrope to walk. Radio Memphis, it can be argued that that's sort of the same thing because it's a radio station, but anybody can access it with an internet-connected device. And that's the way we've always looked at it. You're going to get it. If you'd like to get to it, all you have to do is steer your thing. So the production cost for you is really just access to the internet, because if your monthly internet fee is whatever it is, plus you have access to everything on the web, us included, knock yourselves out. Where do we make our money? In advertisement. But see, here's the thing there. We run commercials, much like this show does, be that as it may, short and sweet and to the point. But we also offer banner ads. And what we've done with that, and because I've had discussions with many people that are in a similar business, and it's like, what do you do with the banner ads? We've been giving them away. That's what we do. We'll just give them away. I mean, they come with some strings attached, of course, because it's business. But if somebody buys an advertising package to get on Radio Memphis, they're also going to get a banner ad for free. That just seems to make sense. It does, and that's one model. Is there a right model and a wrong model? I don't know. I think we're still trying to sort this out. Paywalls into newspapers like the Washington Post, as much as I love reading it and looking through it and enjoying the writing of it, I don't pay for it. I should, as much as I've been on it. They've gotten a lot stricter with their paywalls and stuff, and be that as it may, I get it. It's just, I don't read it often enough to justify the expense of it. And I think it comes out to like $1 a day. So still, that's even $30 a month. That's how they'll frame that up. But see, I don't read it every day. And call me a tightwad, but that shit adds up. And when you have a public that is so worn out with the fire hydrant of news that is everywhere, I mean, a turned on fire hydrant of news. I mean, turned on fire hydrant. There's an interesting thing. It's just ramming stuff out there. And being able to pick and choose from it can be a little tricky. So you have to kind of know your sources. You have to fool around. You have to kind of, you know, see what's out there on the web. And you have, you know, your go-to run of places that you might go to read. And it may not always just be television news. It may not be a newspaper. It may not even be radio. It can be, it could be a combination of all these things. This is where most of us get this information, because look what's going on in the world. We're, you know, we have to find a way to stay on top of things, and it is available to us. Should it come for free? I don't think so. Should we have to pay for it? I don't think so. You know, if I'm going to pay for it, I don't know that I should have to have advertisement in it. I think that's kind of the fence that I sit on for this. Would you agree? 2020 is going to be an interesting year for this sort of thing, because, as I mentioned, several cities and several towns have just closed up their print operations because they just can't justify it. However, it doesn't mean that they're going out of business. They're doing things like forcing all of their content onto the websites. Well, newspapers have traditionally tried to do this, some with great success, i.e. the Washington Post, others not so much, the commercial appeal. Even though I think that their web end of it is a little bit better. They tried the paywall thing at the commercial appeal, and it failed. It failed miserably. Nobody was going to pay for that kind of access. I think they've tried it even to a certain limited degree, but even then, they realized they're better off trying to put ads, and that makes sense. You got your salespeople out there. You're selling ad space in the newspaper. Then all you have to do, it's a simple transition to me to say, well, instead of the printed version, do the exact same thing in a digital version, because it can work that way. You make your website mobile friendly. Boom, you're there. There's ads. There's clickables. There's like a full page ad in a newspaper. You got a square ad in the store. You got stuff. You got ways you can go about it. And you have to wonder, why is it that the adjustment is so difficult? And I think there's two parts to this. One being that the audience that you're working tends to be a little traditional. I get it. I'm married to a woman who feels the exact same way. She loves to be able to have the newspaper tucked under her arm, or being able to sit down on the couch or in the bed and be able to read the paper the way you've always done. Where I'm like, you know, I'll whip out the tablet and go crazy. You know, be looking at all sorts of stuff, and there's video and there's sound and there's articles to read and there's pictures, and it's what it is. And the idea that we can have all of this there with the traditional aspect of it is what has slowed a lot of the newspaper industry down. Another reason, the second part of this, as I think inherently, and some people may not like to hear this, but I think corporate greed plays a large part in this, because they figure, well, if we can make this much money doing this, then we can make even this much money when we do that. So we want all the pie. We want you to pay for a subscription to access our material, and we're going to sell you advertisement on top of it, or we're going to serve you ads, as it were. It's an interesting conundrum. It really is. Television survived it fairly well, although the battle still rages on, because content being what it is. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Netflix has this great film, and we watched it. And, of course, it was commercial-free and whatnot, but we pay for a subscription to Netflix, you know, whatever it is a month. And we do that to have access to this stuff. And there's no ads on it or anything like that. But, see, like, we also have Hulu. Hulu, I think for $5 a month, you can get whatever it is that they've got. That is not their live deal. I'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, their on-demand stuff has commercials in it, which, you know, I don't care, because I get it. I understand it. There's a cost to producing this sort of stuff, especially if it is in-house created, curated material. There's both sides of the sword here, and they're both razor sharp. And having to deal with this has been a big part of the problem. So what would happen then is you would normally just turn this loose into the public and see what the public decides. Well, naturally, the public is going to want what they can get for as little as they're going to get it for. See what I'm saying? And when you have this, you tend to wonder, how far can we stretch this? How thin can we make this get? How thin can we spread it out until it becomes a big issue? I don't know, man. There's some interesting fights that are going to have to develop. You know, you can always get what the market is willing to pay for. And we're in it right now. We're seeing it now happening all throughout the United States for sure. But, especially in the United States. Where does the line get drawn? It's a fascinating thing to wrap your head around, and especially in the business of journalism, which has a very important place in this country, as you very well know. You got to get the information out to the people. You just got to. If you don't, then there's going to be problems. And it's got to be in a place that can be fairly easily accessible. I mean, in all seriousness. Should we be running printers and having it delivered to the home? I don't know that we should, because I'll tell you why. I was standing out in my driveway at about, 12:30 one morning, and the newspaper guy came by and had a hell of a time trying to get the paper onto the driveway because it was so damn light. And it was a lot of effort for something that was so, I don't know, there wasn't any content in it. It was kind of pathetic. It's like, wow, there's so much effort for this. Whereas I can, in my pocket, I've got my phone, and I can immediately get information that's up to the second. I mean, because there's the 24-hour news cycle now. It happens all the time. Newspapers, and you wonder why the print media just didn't embrace the web as big as they should. Well, one such thing, and it's a working theory, because I've heard of people who work in the paper business. Pardon, they have said this. They said that they've heard from, when the internet was really becoming a thing, and more people were really like embracing it. There were a lot of old newspaper guys that sat there and went, "Oh, this is a passing fancy. This is never going to take off. None of this is going to. It's not going to happen." I heard that in the radio industry too. Oh, there's never going to be people getting music on the internet. Are you dumb? Wow. Apparently so. Oh, no one's ever going to watch videos online. Aside from the couple of kids that started YouTube in the basement of their home and then sold it to Google for God knows how much. So you can't sit there and point your finger at it and go, that'll never happen. When Radio Memphis first went on the air, a pretty amusing story. I was talking to a guy who was part of an advertisement agency here in town. And I was like, look, we've got you want to get on to this thing. And he was like, this is interesting. And he's an older cat, and he sat down, and we sat in the conference room, and I think I've told the story before, but still, if you haven't heard it, it's pretty amusing. And he was like, okay, so tell me about internet radio. And I said, well, it's the same thing as your terrestrial AM and FM radio. It's just that it comes through every device out there. And I whipped out my phone and pulled up Radio Memphis, and there we were, and he kind of looked at me like I was like I had come from the future. I said, look, when we were kids, we carried around this thing. We had a little transistor radio. Remember that? A little AM, FM transistor radio. It had a little earpiece that you could plug into, or it had a speaker on it, or you could plug the earpiece in and go into your ear, and you were out, rocking and rolling. You're on your bicycle, and you're, listening to music and whatever it is that you were doing. We're still doing that. The difference is the transistor radio has been replaced by this magical device that we can watch games on. We can see movies. Hell, there's naked people if you go to the right places. There's music. There's email. There's conversation. I can make a phone call on it. I can hop onto an app and order a pizza and ride by and pick it up. I can talk to it, and it'll talk back to me, and it'll do things I ask it to do because it's been infused with artificial intelligence. But it's no different than the transistor radio. It's all right there. Well, this poor bastard, he sat there and got, the longer I spoke, the more red his face turned. Oh, by howdy, he was getting upset. He wasn't mad at me personally. He was just mad at the whole idea that he had just discovered, I ruined his day, that he had just discovered that his whole world was beginning to pass him by. It was just beginning to slip through his fingers. And he just sat there and began to steam. I mean, he was boiling. And then he farted because, you know, he was worked up and it was after lunch. I'll give him that. But by howdy, he pushed himself away from that table, hung his head down, looked at me, and he pointed a finger in my face and he goes, "You're the reason why we can't have nice things anymore." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he was talking about the purity that that was an AM or FM radio. The fact that you could only get so many channels, or the fact that television was what it was at that time. And the fact that this devil device has been included into his world now that combines everything that you could have ever imagined into your world in 19 different devices now happens in one the size of your hand. And he was so worked up about this. And I kind of felt bad for the guy, really, in retrospect. I mean, because I mean, clearly he wasn't mad at me. He's just mad at the fact that he had understood that his world was slipping away from him. What he thought he had had, you know, those little things that we did have when we were children with transistor radios, that kind of thing. You know, that was all gone now. That was just doesn't exist. I mean, you could probably go to, I don't know, somewhere online to find it and get you a transistor radio if you really want to go through that and listen to whatever that sounds like. You know, my wife has one. She uses it when she goes for a long walk. You know, she just doesn't think about using the phone because she's like that traditionalist that picks up those radios. And then she can change channels a lot easier. I mean, I get the advantage of it. And I mean, come on, let's be fair. In my kitchen here in the house, I have a radio that was originally built in the late 30s. It's AM and shortwave, and it sounds great. I rebuilt it. I put new tubes in it. Did a great job of electrical. Thank you very much. and it stays on one of the sports channels. We don't even have a TV in the kitchen because it's just easier to kick that thing on. Besides, it sounds so nice with the tubes and whatnot. It's great. I get it. There is a certain appeal to the antiquity of our past, you know, and I don't mean antiquity being ancient. I mean just that's older, that's matured technology that still has some viability to it, some value to it. And unlike the poor man whose world I just shattered when he realized that it was some younger guy that had come in here and told him how it was all happening. It was, I mean, I'm not a millennial, but I'm not a baby boomer either, but it was sort of this weird okay boomer moment, you know. It was this whole thing about, wow, the younger generation really does have it figured out, and they're going to tear away everything that I've ever held close to me. And that's the feeling that they get. That's one of the major problems that newspapers and magazines are really having to deal with, because there is this younger, newer thought about how accessible everything in the world is at the palm of your hand. And how do we justify its own existence? Because we got to pay for this somehow, right? Magazines don't print themselves, nor do newspapers. But to have an interested audience and want to see it, we have to give them more than just content. We have to give them advertisement. But to get to that point, we got to charge them to get into it. What do we do? And now you got a can of worms and a very slippery slope. Because what decisions are going to be made now are going to affect the way the entire industry is going to be affected for years to come, generations. It wasn't something as simple as deciding between beta and VHS. We talked about that before. Or DVD and Blu-ray. Or 8mm versus 16mm when you're talking film, if you want to go back that far, all the way up to 35mm. You can thank the porn industry for all of that. But let me tell you something. The porn industry doesn't have a dog in the race when it comes to print media, because what? Hell, even Playboy magazine flirted with the whole idea of, like, we're just going to start taking naked people out of our magazine. We're going to see what happens. Well, there was a bit of a backlash. And then their subscription, as if they needed a reason to quit subscribing to it, as it were, because it was, I used to be a subscriber to it, but it wasn't cheap. But it was an interesting magazine. It was a bit of interesting stuff in there. Yeah, the girls were fun to look at. Yeah, great. But there was also the interviews were fantastic in there. And then Hef died. And then the whole thing changed. And yeah, they've got a website you can go to, read all that stuff there. You got to pay for it, just like anything else. It's like Rolling Stone is another one. There are so many of these things that are out there that they're all trying to vie for a slice of your attention. Just a small slice. So how do you do it? What do you do to make that happen? I don't know. I guess it comes down to people voting with their wallet. If you think about it, that's really what it boils down to. where are the masses going to go and what are they doing and how are they doing it? We saw the explosion last year of cable cutting, cord cutting. There's a cord cutters, cable cutters. They just abandoned their cable service providers because it was just, it was dumb. It was, they felt ripped off because there was the internet and it was like, hey, you want to check us out for $5 a month and get you everything you want. Hell, we have a service here. We have Sling. We pay $20 a month for it. You get like 25 channels, but it covers what we need. Yeah. I got CNN. We got ESPN. We got all the ESPNs on there. We got, I don't know, A&E is on there. There's a bunch of stuff. And it's, but see, it's what basic cable used to be. We pay $20 a month for that. Basic cable has never been $20, except for like way back in the 80s when it was like 18. That's 1980s money. Now, a small cable television package is going to be close to $75, maybe $100. So how do you vote with your wallet? Well, you just do what you do. You decide what can you live with, what can you live without. Okay, is there ways that I can do this that are going to be different than I have in the past? And fine, it's great. We're in the golden age of the internet right now. That's the beauty of it. The unfortunate part is that we are also in the downturn of another industry. And if it is print media, sorry, so be it. But those journalists, those writers, those people that did such a fine job in print do have lives outside of print, and it's still print. It's still just being printed on the internet. It's where it's at. And so the traditionalist will sit there and they'll hold on to these things, their memories, their dreams, their fantasies, whatever it is that is that turns their crank. And then they're going to watch the rest of the world go on without them. And that's why I go back to that guy in that conference room. Like I said, I feel kind of bad for the guy because I ruined it. I ruined his adult world. He probably had sat there and kept hearing these from the younger people in the audience, the things about the internet, this and the internet, we're going to go to the web, we're going to do this, And he probably got sick and tired of it. And here's a guy that's, you know, a little closer to his age. And I can say, hey, dude, you got to check out what's going on the internet, bro. And he's just over there having I'm surprised he didn't have a heart attack and just drop dead right then and there. But he didn't. The worst thing that happened, I ruined his childhood. There are worse things. But look, you know, once you embrace the newer technology and stuff that's out there, you realize it's not all that bad. It's not bad at all, is it? The trick is to find balance and not be afraid, which is hard to do, admittedly. I mean, it is really hard to do. It's hard to find the balance, first of all. And to be afraid is we live in a state of fear all the time. Look at what's going on in the world. There are so many people out there that are so damn scared of their own shadows. It's silly. I've learned to personally not to live like that, but, you know, there's a lot to be afraid of. I know. I get it. But in the reality of things, it's not that bad. I don't know. Vote with your wallet, I guess. It'd be interesting to hear what you guys think about this. But there it is. You know, wither print. Where will it go? How many cat boxes are we going to... Hey, what are we going to wrap our fish heads with? I don't know. Viable questions.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Maybe you weren't aware of it, but, you know, or maybe you are. You know, your device is spying on you. It does. It sits there. You'll have conversations with some friends and your phone's sitting there on the table. You know, like you're over a guy's house, for example, and you're sitting at the kitchen table and you're having a cup of coffee or a glass of beer or something, some sandwiches. And you're sitting there talking and your phones are sitting there on the table and you're talking about, I don't know, Bora Bora. And now all of a sudden you start seeing ads for Bora Bora on wherever it is that you go. Guess what? We're finding out now. This is becoming a thing too. It's time now to quit doing this because it's not working. Targeted advertisement is not working anymore. Why is this?
because people are freaked out. That's why. Well, I was just talking about that. That doesn't mean I want to spend money on that. What are we going to do? Turn it off.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Yeah, get a little spooky, I guess. It's high time we probably got into it, but, you know, targeted advertising, such as it is. Tonight, Radio Memphis for the Booze and Blues starts at 8 p.m. Central. If you happen to catch this show on the 12th of January, Sunday night, before 8 p.m., get on over to radio-memphis.com. Tune in for that show. We have a delightful program for you this evening. It is Beverly Davis and her band. They will be performing in studio. They are representing Memphis in the upcoming International Blues Challenge here later this month. And that's we're thrilled. We can't be happier about it. This is going to be a full band. It'll be big. It'll be a large time. It's oh my God, there'll be laws broken. It'll be fun. Tonight, 8 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com. Speaking of musicians, it's been sort of a rough week with the passing of Neil Peart, or Peart, depending on what side of the fence you were on. Neil, of course, the longtime drummer for the band Rush out of Canada. Fascinating man. He wrote a book, Neil did, on the... I forget the name of it, but it's along the lines of finding healing along the road or something, where upon the deaths of his daughter and his wife in separate incidents, and then the passing of his dog, Neil just felt like he didn't have anything left in this world. So he hopped on a motorcycle and literally drove just all over the world with this thing and met people and spoke to them and, you know, cleared his head and took a lot of time to deal with it. And it's a beautifully, beautifully written book. I highly recommend it. Just hop online, search Neil Peart for his books, you know, and there's a couple of them. So there is that. Unpopular thought as it may be, I was never really personally a big fan of Rush. I appreciated what they did. I liked, you know, some of it. You know, it was interesting to watch, and there's videos out there of Neil working a drum set, doing that big, you know, 12, 15-minute drum solo that he did. Fascinating man. And to be quite frank with you, it's like the hands of God that are working. The man was no doubt a talent. I just was – their stuff never really did turn my crank. But, you know, I get it. I appreciate it. And that should teach you guys a lesson. It's okay to not like something, but you can also appreciate it, you know. And with Neil, that's one of those things. And you know, Godspeed, Neil. You know, it's tough. It was a tough loss. I know he left the band some time ago and for unspecified reasons. Oh, now we know what they are or what they were. And, you know, there is that. So there you go. It's just a reminder that no matter how special we all think we are or how special we think somebody else is, we're all mortal. Don't take these people for granted. Someday that void will be very apparent, and then we'll have to deal with that. So there. All right, not to end on a morose note and all, but there you go. Gotta go, gotta run. Y'all be sweet. Y'all take care of yourselves. No, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar. This has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.